Let's all say a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our family altar. Let us all sing hymn 146. 146. We will sing all the four verses. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay down nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ. So for this evening's family altar, we shall read Psalms 11. Psalms 11. Psalms 11, they are all together seven verses. Let's read together. In the name of Jesus, I read verse 1. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string, to shoot in the heart at the upright in heart. Verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Verse 6. Let him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteous deeds, the upright shall behold his face. So in Psalms 11 verse 3, in the eyes of God, we are likened to a tree. We are also likened to a house, where in a tree there are two parts, that is above the ground, which is invincible, and below the ground, which is invincible. Above the ground definitely is visible, but for a tree to bear fruit, the crucial thing will be where it is rooted then. So it is the same with the person's faith, where his life manifestation is something we can see and what we emphasize upon. But the part that can be seen is actually the manifestation of the unseen part. What cannot be seen is the foundation. So why is this verse recorded in this manner? So in this psalm, this is also a psalm of David. So in verse 1 and verse 2, David described how he put his trust in the Lord. Verse 1. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. So here David described to us how he put his trust in the Lord. So why did he mention it? Because in his life he faced difficulty. This difficulty was caused by the evildoers. How was he to face all this difficulty then? So some, when they see David, they told him to flee as a bird to the mountain. But because if one does not flee away, the arrow will strike him. Just an example, when David was pursued by Saul, Saul had great strength. If he had caught David, then his life would have ended. But to David, it is not that important who the wicked ones or the doers pursuing him, but rather who was the God that David worshipped. This is a very important concept in life. We are living in between God and man, where man is visible, but God is invisible. We can see or feel clearly the influence of man, but to the invincible and silent influence of God, we are not able to see it or realize it. If we only rely on our sight and not our faith, then we would feel the negative influence of man in our lives. We would feel hopeless, helpless, unable to do anything, for their strength is greater than ours. The wicked controls everything. However, if we were to rely on faith and not by sight, we would feel hopeful because we are one who trusts in God. As a result, we have a firm foundation. When we compare man and God, what is man? The difficulties that man can give us can all be resolved if God is in our sight to help us. So in verse 3, so here it talks about if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundation, it refers to the person's invincible faith and trust in God. If it is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Just likened to a lamb being led to the slaughterhouse. So in the Bible, there's a classical example of the story of Daniel, when he was surrounded by all wicked men, for he had high position in the Babylonian kingdom. He was the governor for the kings. When one is in high position, many would try ways and means to pull us down so that they could go up. But when we look at Daniel's position from a bystander, we could be seen that he was actually in a very dangerous position. The king has already given out its decree and it is to take effect. So Daniel was also thrown into the lion's den. So to many, the life of Daniel had really ended because he faced the enemy that could not be eaten or even to be defeated. However, Daniel's foundation was not destroyed. So in the book of Daniel, we could not find any fault in Daniel. Instead, we are able to witness his faith, his trust in God. So all he did was whatever that was right in the eyes of God. Then God elevated him, enabling his position as a governor to become even as firmer as before. So the Bible actually tells us there are many examples of this, that in our life, what we fear is not whether we are surrounded by evil men, but rather, because they are only men, whether our foundations are destroyed or not, whether we truly trust in God or not. So how does the Bible explain or see this evil, the wicked and the righteous? Let's see verse 4, verse 5. Psalms 11, verses 4 and 5. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see. His eyelids test the children of men. Verse 5. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. So here it mentions what the Lord loves and what the Lord hates. This is the most critical or crucial point. When we put too much emphasis in interpersonal relationship, of course, the scripture teaches us to be at peace with everyone, not to simply make enemies with others for any reason. So the Bible actually teaches us to have good interpersonal relationship. But more importantly, we are to have good relationship with God. Are we someone that God loves or hates? Hence, here it tells us that God tests the righteous, God would test the righteous whether it is truly the righteous, indeed is indeed righteous. Just like when we buy something, we definitely want to try and to test its effectiveness. After we are tested and that God deems us as righteous, then we are loved by Him. And in verse 4 says, the Lord is in His holy temple. So where is the holy temple? It is in heaven. It is the spiritual house, the throne, where God is full of glory and the angels are serving Him. It is also in church. Therefore, inside the church, there is also the throne of God, just like the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Where the Lord sits on the throne in heaven, the Bible tells us that the Lord dwells on high. So what does He do there? So in Psalms 113 verses 5 and 6 tells us, He humbles Himself to behold the things in heaven and on earth. That is why in verse 4, the lower portion says, His eyes see, His eyelids test the children of men. So God looked at man in totality, not only in his outward manifestations, inward thoughts, inward hearts too, He will look inside. We cannot see all this with our own eyes, but if God tests whether we are righteous, then we would need not worry anymore. Why? Because in verse 7, God is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright then can behold His face. An upright man can behold Him, filled with hope. This is the basic principle or the foundation of our life. However, if we are seen by God and as evil, then what will happen? Let's see verse 6. Psalms 11 verse 6. Let him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur, and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. Although the wicked may be prosperous for a moment, eventually they will be pulled down, just like the tree being uprooted. Why? Because God is not pleased with him. Therefore today, how to enable our foundations to be firm? This is something that we need to pursue in our entire life. And in Isaiah 37 verse 31, the scripture tells us that the Israelites were told to take root downward. What do we mean by to take root downward? That is to rebuild their relationship with God. So this is crucial. When this is done, then they will be able to bear fruit upward. And the grace of God will come upon them once more. In the land flowing with milk and honey, they shall once again be prosperous because God abides with them. But today in our life, we worry over many things. So more importantly, now we are to take root downwards and to have a good relationship with God. And He will take care as well as solve many of our life problems. This is the basic attitude that we should have in life. Therefore today, very importantly, we are to take root downward. Because this thing is not right in the eyes of God, therefore God will not be pleased. Therefore today, we must do the things that are right in the eyes of God. Only then He will be able to be pleased with us. So how are we to do that? So in Psalms 1 tells us we are to meditate upon the words of God day and night. So whenever we do, wherever we go, we continually ponder over the word of God. Then as the psalmist have said, then we shall be likened to a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, where it is filled with nutrition. So in order to understand the things of the world today, we often engage ourselves to read the news. But all these news do not contain life, and most of it are negative. But the word of God is different, where in Him, He is the light, in Him there is no darkness, and all goodness actually come from Him. Therefore, if we read the word of God daily and the light of the Lord shines upon us, then slowly, slowly, all these evil thoughts, unhealthy thoughts, unholy words are slowly taken away from our heart. Then we will slowly realize that our hearts have already changed, and even the words that we speak would be different. So that is why Jesus says, if we practice the word of God, if we meditate upon the word of God, the Lord will be with us. Therefore, then only we'll be able to have a strong and firm foundation in Him. So how are we to enable ourselves to be rooted and that our foundations are not destroyed? That is through reading and meditating upon the word of God. Then we would have a good and firm relationship with Him. So the Bible tells us of many examples of believers, for example, in Berea. They were the people who were fair-minded, more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word of God with all readiness and search it daily. This is what is meant by taking root downwards. to fill our hearts with the Word of God, so that our heart will be molded to be truth-like, our concept to be more biblically based. So this is the basic thing that we can do, that is to read the Bible. Even Jesus also mentioned about those who hear and practice the Word of God. It's likened to one who built his house on the rock, not only to listen, but to practice and to do them accordingly. Then his foundation would be firm and not easily fall. Because if we know the Word of God, but we do not do it, even if you build this foundation, we're actually building it upon the sand and it will fall. So when the rain comes from above, when the winds blow from the side, and waters come from below, we can see it will not fall because its foundation is firm. So this is the first method. The second method is that we need to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Just like the book of Ezekiel chapter 47 mentions the vision of the temple, there was the river, there was water flowing from the right side of the temple, from the church. So the precious part of the church is that we have the living water, that is the Holy Spirit. So the places that the water passes through, there will be great change. Even though our life may be likened to a bitter ocean, but when the Holy Spirit flows by it, its waters will become sweet. Our hearts will be filled with peace and joy. If we are planted by the waters, our deep hearts will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even though in the most adverse of situations, we are still able to experience great joy. And more importantly, we are able to live. We are able to have a very dynamic way, a dynamic spiritual life. Even though sometimes we feel that our spiritual life is withering, because inside us we are lacking in this Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit fills our heart, then our spiritual lives will become vibrant. And in the book of Ezekiel also tells us that the trees by the sides will continue to bear fruit. So what does it mean to have a firm foundation? That is to pray until we are filled with the Holy Spirit and the springs of living water will flow within us. That's why today, very importantly, we need to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, in order to have a firm foundation, we must continually have the Word of God in our hearts, in our lives, and to continually pray to be filled with the Spirit of God. Then in the deepest of our hearts, we will be planted by the waters. So we can just look at the example of the apostolic church at that time, where in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 41 and 42, tells us there were 3,000 who were baptized and they passed a new life. And after which they continue in the teachings of God, in the apostles' doctrine, meaning to say they studied deeply in the Word of God and practiced it. They also prayed. They prayed to until the point they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They also had fellowship together, meaning they practiced and shared love among the brethren. Where the church is a family, the value of a family is that we are able to love one another, to encourage one another, to use the love of God to interact with one another so that we can build a closer relationship with one another, then our faith foundation can be firm. So after one is baptized, how is one able to belong to this church? It is with this love of God we can take part and be part of this body, and we will not easily depart from the church because there is love. And the apostolic foundation at that time is firm, for they have his word, spirit and love. So as a result, in Acts chapter 2 verse 47 tells us, the membership of the church increased and continued to grow. This is how they bore fruit. So in verse 42, they took root downwards and they bear fruit upwards. Therefore, for the church to grow, it must take root downwards with the Word of God, with His Spirit, with His love. So we pray that the Lord will be able to grant us to have a firm foundation in Him. So now we shall reserve some time for our prayer. So in our prayer, we continue to pray for one another, to pray for the church, to pray for the country. Shall we now, in the name of Jesus, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Let us recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our family altar shall end here. God bless all of you.